We're going to begin lots of our, well, we've just begun the series. Last week we began the series on the abundant life, or also known as the Sermon on the Mount, the path to the abundant life, or also the Sermon on the Mount. And we did that last week. We're going to begin most Sundays as we do this journey through the Sermon on the Mount by reading Psalm 1. As we did last week and as we did today. This week, we're actually going to, after several week buildup, we're actually going to begin the sermon. I'm calling, if I say the sermon these days, it's not my sermon I'm talking about. Usually it's going to be the Sermon on the Mount. I sent some stuff to Mike and Jeanette so we could get, they could help get the PowerPoint ready, and I used the phrase the sermon, and I realized I was meaning the Sermon on the Mount, where I might have been mistaken for my sermon, but the Sermon on the Mount. We're beginning the sermon today. All that to say, we're beginning the sermon today. Now, I'm a teacher, and so one of the things teachers do is review, right? Teachers out there, y'all review, right? Okay, I'm a review. I'm also a football coach, so I'll repeat myself a lot. Yeah, you got that. Some of you got that right there. But we're going to review what we talked about last week. And really, what we talked about last week could be summed up right over here, the idea of rebrand. Now, what we called it, the Blessed Life is the name of this sermon today, the Blessed Life. But we called it last week, repent. The kingdom of heaven is near, or change is coming. So we talked about change. We talked about change being a good thing, and we're rebranding in a way. It's we're going to do something different. So here's a little review on last week's sermon of change is coming, repent. So here's what it is. The gospel, by the way, is good news about the change. It's what the gospel is about. It's the good news about the change that's coming. And the teaching of Jesus, the gospel, is coming. It's coming. And when Jesus said that in Matthew 4, verse 17, the Sermon on the Mount was right around the corner. Here it comes. Repent, the kingdom of God is near. It sure was. It's coming right around the corner, chapter 5. So here's what I said. A lot of times, new information or a new perspective on old information causes us to change the way we think. And the change in the way we think causes us to change in the way we behave. Sometimes it's not just the new information. It's not just a new perspective on old information. Sometimes it's a persuasive presentation, I'm going to call it, on the value of the new perspective. All this was going on with Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. He was giving some of these Jews some new information. For some, he was giving a new perspective on old information. And for some, he was giving a persuasive presentation on why they should do and act on the old or new perspective. Now, here's what it means that we're going to change because we have some new information. I'll give you a couple examples. Sometimes we faithfully, I mean full of faith, head down a trail that might be wrong. Have you all ever done that? I'll give you an example. There was a time in my life where I had sworn I would always buy American cars, Ford and Chevys. I'm never going to buy a Japanese car, right? Because, you know, buy American. You're right? Today, Mary Beth drives a Tundra and I drive a Tacoma. We're Toyota people all the way. Why? Because something happened the way we were thinking and it changed the way we behave, right? Okay. Or there was a time when really good, well-meaning, top-of-the-line educated doctors put leeches on people to suck blood out of them to heal them. And they thought they were doing the right thing. But they got new information and they changed their ways. We could go on and on about that. First century Jews were in that category. And Jesus is going to get ready to tell them some things they've already known, but it's a new perspective on it. Sometimes it's a valuing, a higher value of the new perspective. But that's what's going to happen here in the Sermon on the Mount. So that's kind of the review from last week. And so now we jump into the sermon, chapter 5, verse 3 is where it begins. But, you know, one time I heard this guy say, sometimes you should begin with the end in mind. Uh-huh. Y'all know that seven hot habits thing. Well, we're going to do that right now. The sermon ends with a parable about building a house. And there's two guys building a house. And here's how it begins in chapter 7, verse 24. Now, we're coming back to chapter 5, verse 3. But right now, the sermon ends with the building of the house, and it's about follow through. And he says this, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. And he goes on to compare a wise man and a foolish man. And the point is, the wise man puts them into practice. Here's some things we know about the sermon. Jesus expects us to put the things he's going to say into practice. These aren't just things to talk about, to discuss, to understand. Understanding is good, discussion is good, but he's expecting putting these things into practice. Who hears these words of mine, put them into practice. And we're talking about the whole sermon here. Okay, backing up to the beginning of the sermon begins with what I'm going to call ways of being. Now, some people, you're going to call these Beatitudes, but I'm calling it a way of being. Okay, I'll get to this in a minute. Well, right now. So, for instance, poor in spirit is a way of being. Meekness is a way of being. Do y'all know any people who are meek? Or merciful is a way of being. You know merciful people? It's the way they, it's not just the thing they do, it's the way they are. Merciful. It's a way of being. Loyalty during persecution. And that he gets on that's the last of the Beatitudes. Loyalty during persecution. It's a way of being. The Beatitudes, we're not going to think about them as commands. Rather, we're going to think about them as things that we become. They're not a list of things to do. Rather, they're a list of be like this. Do you understand? And there's a difference. It's not a huge difference, but there's a difference between me saying this is a to-do list and this is a be like this list. Okay, we're going to get to that again a little more in just a minute. Another thing about the list, it's not exhaustive. There are other things Jesus does include later about that would fit right on this list in his teachings. Now then, today's study, or at least part of the study, part of the sermon, is going to be a word study. And you have known me for a while, and so you know I like word studies. And if you don't like word studies, smile anyway, pretend. You know? I will tell a story in a minute, but I like word studies. Today, the sermon and the story are these words right here. Makarios, let's say it, Makarios. Say it again, Makarios. Okay, listen to this one first. Eulogeo. Okay, eulogeo. Eulogeo. Okay, both of these are Greek words, and they both are translated into English as blessed. Now, we're going to see in a minute, they mean two different things, but when you read most versions of the Bible, it's going to say blessed. Now, that we're going to look at their Greek counterpoint, I mean, their Hebrew counterpoints for just a second. In Hebrew, the words are Asher. We're going to say Asher. I pronounce it all over the map, but my phone tells me that I should pronounce it Asher. 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 And Barak. Barak. These are both Hebrew words that are translated in English as the word blessed. All right? So we're going to talk about the Hebrew kind of words at first, and then move into the Greek words, which is what Matthew wrote in the Sermon on the Mount. So here's the lesson from Hebrew. God blessed Abraham, Barak. He baraked him. God blessed Abraham. And so here's what it says in Genesis 12. I will make you into a great nation, and I will barak you, bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a barak. I will barak those who barak you. All through this, it's barak, okay? Now then, in the psalm we just read a minute ago, it's Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, blessed, or Asher, a certain kind of people, and if I could find my Bible there, what kind of people are they? Blessed are a certain kind of people who don't walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take, but they delight in the law of the Lord. Asher, that's what they are. Now then, these two words. Barak is to endue, and I never used the word endue. I didn't even know it was a word, so you know that I read this somewhere else. But it means this. It means to provide or supply. Just go ahead and write, instead of endue, write supply. To supply with power for success or prosperity or longevity. Okay, so barak means I'm going to give you something that you need. I'm going to give you the power to do something. Sometimes it's a straight up gift, like a gift of money, or it's a gift of a home. I'm going to bless you with a home. Aren't you happy? Okay. It also can mean praise, like a compliment. I'm going to give you a compliment. And so we sang a song today from and it's from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And this is me blessing the Lord. Usually, the term barak is from a greater, like a king, to a servant. The king is going to bless the servant. But sometimes the servant blesses the king, and he does that by praising him or giving him a compliment or a recommendation. It also sometimes, in very rare cases, but sometimes barak means this. Just to kneel and bow. And in this way, you are praising the one who's walking. You're baraking him. You're giving him praise. You're not giving him power to succeed. You're giving him praise. But most of the time, it's something you're giving. You're providing the power for success or prosperity or longevity. Okay? Now then, Asher is different. Asher is to experience the gift, the barak, and as a result, find happiness or bliss or satisfaction. Okay? So it's a little bit different. I'm going to show you a couple of examples in just a minute about how this is different and why that's important. I would say this too. Asher is the cousin to another more famous Hebrew word, shalom. We've all heard the word shalom. You mostly probably know the word shalom is translated most often in English with the word peace. It becomes like a saying. And so in America, we do it this way. Hey, shalom. Maybe not. But that's, and they're very similar. As a matter of fact, in some ways, they could be interchangeable. Asher and shalom. There's other words for peace. Also, but in this idea, Asher is not just to receive the gift. It is to receive the gift, but it's to experience the gift. Okay, now then back to our Greek and Hebrew words together. Barak and eulogeo, I have to think through eulogeo. Eulogeo are the same. Asher and makarios are the same. When Greek goes into Hebrew, when Hebrew goes into Greek, these words are the same. So here's the question I want to ask. Can a person be blessed, but at the same time not be blessed? Now that's, okay, hang on there a minute. Can a person be barak, but not be Asher? Okay. Here's the example. I need Joe's going to help me. You got a very, yeah, just stand right where you are though. Stand up, Joe. Joe, we're going to look at him and see that he is very thirsty. Can you see? Yeah. He's very thirsty. He is dehydrated. If he doesn't get water soon, he may die. And so I am going to barack him with some water. I'm going to bless him with water. And he's getting the blessing of water. You get that? But if he doesn't open it and drink it, he will not get the Asher of water. Okay? He's going to get the... I've blessed him with the water, but he's not going to be blessed with water unless he drinks the water. Does that make sense? So, drink it or not, it's now your water. So sometimes you can be blessed and yet not be blessed. So I want to give, here's some case studies. First of all, is Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were blessed by God. They received everything they could want or need or imagine, didn't they? They lived with God in His presence. They had all the food, everything they needed, they had it. But for some reason, it wasn't enough. They were not experiencing the blessing, so they went and did something else. And they ate fruit that they weren't supposed to eat because evidently they weren't satisfied. They had received the barak from God. They had received a blessing from God, but they weren't blessed. They weren't satisfied. They weren't satisfied. Okay, the next one, the foolish builder in Matthew 7. The foolish builder had heard the same sermon that the wise builder had heard. And this is what Jesus says, whoever puts these words into practice. So everybody had heard the sermon. If you'd heard the sermon, you were blessed with the sermon. You'd heard it. You'd heard this word from God. You'd heard instruction from God. But if you don't put it into practice, you're not blessed. So in that sense, we're all blessed. But maybe we're not all blessed. Y'all catching, y'all understanding where we are now. So the key to this first eight Beatitudes, we're going to call them the Beatitudes, the word blessed there is the word makarios, that I'm going to receive this blessing. What is the blessing? We'll get to that next, okay? So what are these teachings of Jesus? These teachings of Jesus form his followers into a way of being that restores them to the person they were created and destined to be. Man, this is a mouthful, right? So let's break this down. Let's break this statement down just a little bit. We are broken, sinful, live in a world where it's hard to live life, to be God's person. We're all this. We're all sinners saved by God's grace, right? Are we not? And what we're wanting, what we're looking for, and you might write this in the margin here, transformation. We want to become the person we were born to be before sin and Satan and the world got hold of us. All right? We want to become that person. And so the teachings of Jesus is what does that. It restores us to be that kind of person. And through the teaching, God is going to transform us. Okay, so here's the one. I'm going to use a beatitude that's not in the Beatitudes for this. And I'm going to use the idea of kindness. Okay? So kind, I'm going to say, is a way of being. And Paul's going to say it's a fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Paul doesn't say in Galatians that kindness is a command. He says it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something you are because of, it's something you do because of who you are. So kindness is a way of being. A kind person does kind things, right? A kind person does kind things. And a kind person who does kind things enjoys being kind. This is why Jesus says it's better to give than to receive. Because kindness is a reward in itself. If you're a kind person. If you're a kind person. But sometimes we've lost our kindness in the world we live in, and we've become selfish people. Born destined to be kind and yet turned out selfish right off the bat when we started to say, that's mine, stealing toys from your sibling or whatever. So to become a kind person, the person you're destined to be, you begin by doing kind things. And then God transforms you. Okay, see this kind of, you want to be a kind person, but I'm not. Kind persons do kind things. To become the kind person that I really created to be and I desire to be, I begin to do kind things, and then God changes me. The Holy Spirit, it's a fruit of the Spirit, works in the Spirit. So back to, as Steve, you know, spoiled for us, spoiler alert, Steve. We're standing at a path, at a fork in the road. We're standing at this fork. Adam and Eve stood at the same place. Okay, they stood at this point and they had a decision to make. Where are they going to go? Which way are they going to go? What are they going to do? And it's trust God and receive his blessings. And this is where it's so important, this difference between Makarios. Makarios is for me to receive the blessing, experience the blessing. And next week, we're going to talk about exactly how this happens, from being poor in spirit to inheriting, receiving the kingdom of heaven, or being meek and receiving the earth. We're going to inherit the earth. How does this happen? Or being pure in heart, and then we're going to see God. Okay, how does this happen? Well, it has to do with receiving the gift, the barak that God's given you, okay, and putting it into practice. Now, putting it into practice isn't just about the Beatitudes. It's about the whole sermon. While the Beatitudes may not be, and I don't believe they are commands, there are going to be some commands in the Sermon on the Mount. There's going to be several of them. And these commands as a whole, as a group of teaching, are going to create in us, if we put them into practice, the outcome of putting into practice is going to be you being poor in spirit. The outcome of putting the Sermon on the Mount into practice is going to be you and me becoming meek and merciful and pure in heart. This is the outcome of putting into practice the words of Jesus, okay? So also standing at the fork in the road are the two builders. One's going to be a wise man, one's going to be a foolish man. One, his house is going to stand, the other one, his house is going to fall. So the whole idea of the Sermon on the Mount really rests on this verse in chapter 7, verse 24. Will you put into practice the teaching that you've just heard? Now, this teaching is going to, for us, is going to expand over several weeks, over probably a couple of months, maybe. Not as long as it took Steve to build the temple of Apollo in Didyma, 800 years, but it's going to take us a minute or two to get there. Because we're going to dig into, next week, the Beatitudes, and the week after that, what's salt and light? What does that mean for us? That Jesus says, you're salt and you're light. And then what does it mean when it says Jesus came to fulfill the law? Not abolish the law, but fulfill the law. What is that? So we're going to be taking this one bite at a time. And today, the idea is this idea that we're going to put into practice the whole sermon. And as we put it into practice, what will happen is we'll be transformed. And when we're transformed, we'll be blessed. Okay, now follow me. 1, 2, 3. Put it into practice. Whole sermon. Put it into practice. Okay. Transformation takes place. As the transformation takes place, we're blessed. We'll receive the blessing. Joe will drink the water. How does he drink the water? By putting the whole sermon into practice. Putting it into practice. These two things are linked. So when you become the person you were meant to be, you experience Makarios. And you are blessed. You're blessed. For me, to be blessed means it is well with my soul. One of the things that's hard to... The translations are pretty set. Most of the translations translate Makarios as blessed. Some of them translate it as happy. Our culture has kind of a shallow view of happy. Like you're happy just because of your circumstances. But blessed, Makarios, means not only am I blessed when things are going my way, it's not about the circumstances. I'm happy when things aren't going my way. And for us to use the word happy is hard. I don't think that translates that well, using the word happy. Even though that's what many scholars will translate Makarios into, the word happy. But still the idea of being blessed, that even when things are not going my way, I experience the joy of God's blessing. Okay, does that make sense? When things are going bad, I still experience the joy of God's blessing. So this week, unknown to me, this was going to happen. But like often happens, the day of the sermon, something happens or I hear something the day before. And I realized that's it. And so some of you know about Steve's truck. Something happened to Steve's truck. If you don't know what happened to Steve's truck, it's out in the parking lot for you to look at. But Steve got whacked. And as he told me earlier today, he's experienced all the emotions. You know, he's gone through the whole cycle. You know, the cycle of emotions when something bad happens to you. You know, what are some of those? Anger. What? Denial, resentment, grief. You know, Steve got all of those things going on. Right? Been there, done that, all of that. And he says, now I'm back to level. I'm okay now. I'm okay. Here's the thing. When you can experience bad things, and yet understand I'm blessed, not because of a good thing that happened to me, but because a good God has given me everything I need. Everything I need. He's given me everything I need. And where that doesn't have, that becomes kind of our way of being. That's the way I experience life. I experience life knowing that God is caring for me. It doesn't mean I don't get angry. It doesn't mean I don't get sad. But it's the kind of foundation under that and really umbrella over that is that God has blessed me. He's given me the things I need to enjoy life. Not just have to do it. You know, and some of us are like this, like, we feel this way about going to church. I've got to go to church. I don't want to, like going to church is like taking out the trash. And then there's a different kind of way of seeing it. It's like, no, I can't wait to go. I want to be with you. And this is the way it is through all of our life's experiences, that God has given me the joy, the perspective, the tools to make this experience we call life, to make it a blessed life. A blessed life. Well, for me, the phrase is this, it's well with my soul. I don't know, nobody ever translates Makarios into it is well with my soul, but that's how I hear it and feel it. When I read blessed are the poor in spirit, I say the poor in spirit, it's well with their soul. It's well with their soul. That's who I am. We're going to sing the song. After we sing the song, there's something I need to talk about in our closing thoughts. There's a journal I'm going to give you, or at least I'm going to offer you. I want to talk about after we sing. But to me, as I'm thinking about what does Makarios mean, to me it's well with my soul. No other translators translate it like that. I don't understand what's wrong with them. But for me, the idea of it's well with my soul. It's well with my soul. And God has equipped me for life. And he's changing me into the person that I was meant to be. And he's doing the same thing with you. If and as we put the words into practice. Put the words into practice. Let's stand and let's sing this song together.